Good morning. Καλημέρα, η μάδερ, Λέβουιτς. Let me joke saying that fortunately I brought some colleagues with me, so a considerable audience left in the room. A fluctuating environment is connected with ineffective resource use. This is the focal point of this presentation. The implication of environmental diversity on maize and wheat is of prime importance because they are both major crops. For both, harvested yield usually lags behind the potential yield, leading to a considerable potential yield gap. One particular root cause is density dependence. Density dependence means that the optimum density is either very high for some seasons or largely varying across seasons. In general, the yield by density interaction matches the parabolic pattern with effective resource use attainable at specific density, the optimum density, so as the season's yield potential to be fully exploited. However, while for a good season this optimum density might be high, for a less favorable one, not only yield potential but optimum density also lowers, and they both lower even more for a marginal, for example, dry season. Nevertheless, the pattern of interseasonal variation in optimum density and yield potential is not so clear. In fact, it is a complicated puzzle. So, at some time, three questions are of farmers' interest. Which the target population should be? Thus, which the corresponding seeding rate should be? And which the finally established population would be? Centered on plant population density along with potential yield gap, the hereafter discussion is structured in implicative key points. The first, optimum density differs from cultivar to cultivar. This is almost a universality maze, even though less severe, it might occur in wheat as well. Thus, comparison of different cultivars at a single density might be a biased evaluation. And of course, a wrong decision on cultivar choice for an area implies ineffective resource use and additional contributor to the potential yield gap. The second key point, diverse environments implies enormously varying seasonal yield potential. For example, in a single location in Hungary and across 11 consecutive seasons, interseasonal variation in yield potential was above 450%. Similar impact is drawn from this wheat study carried out across 11 locations of Western Australia. Much higher diversity had been reported for the same area earlier. In sequence, variability in yield potential results in variability in optimum density alike. From this maize hybrid, the optimum density varied tremendously, from less than one plant per square meter for the most stressful environment, up to 10 plants per square meter for the most favorable one. The optimum density of 7 wheat cultivars varied substantially across 6 environments. Remarkably, for one of them, the biggest difference was observed within the same season between the two sowing dates. Even though optimum density seems to be positively connected with the season's yield potential, the expected yield level cannot be used as an indicator of the target population. In general, indeed, the speculation of a positive relationship is valid, and in this maize study, notably under irrigation, just 25% higher yield potential would require double number of plants in order to be fully exploited. Consequently, one could hypothesize that the target population could be decided on the expected yield level. However, because weather is the determinant factor with precipitation level distribution to be crucial, at some time estimation of the expected yield level is a difficult issue. Additionally, the hypothesis of a tight connection is far away to be always true. Instead, under certain circumstances, might be tend to be negative, even negative, as caused a delay in sowing in the study or heat stress in another, as well as frost and terminal drought in other cases. Unpredictability of the season's hypotension and inconsistence in yield by intensity interaction make estimation of the target population almost impossible. Moreover, and this applies particularly for wheat, variation in the ratio of established plants over the seeding rate complicates further the issue. It is well evident that planting ratio declines as seeding rate increases. Apparently, there is a gap between seeding and planting, and this gap enlarges as seeding rate increases. Further, planting ratio varies from season to season. Indicatively, in this wheat study, in order to establish 200 plants per square meter, the corresponding seeding rate would be 100, 112, 74 kilograms per hectare for three successive seasons. But planting ratio varies even within the same season, for example, between different sowing dates or between different fields, adding thus extra pieces to the puzzle. A very important parameter that justifies density dependence is presumably stagnation yielding capacity at the single plant level, that is, plant yield potential, responsible for poor performance at low populations. Breeding so far emphasized primarily on higher and higher populations in order to advance the crop yield potential, neglecting the individual plant performance, as Duvik thoroughly documented it in maize. However, improved plant yield potential is essential to lower and stabilize the optimum density. From this viewpoint, exceptionally informative is this wheat study. While during a dry season, all the eight cultivars exhibited a similar and low optimum density, highlighting that when drought prevails, preference of a low population is a prudent decision. On a favorable season, it is drawn that cultivars that fall short of plant yield potential exhibit higher optimum density and are more variable in optimum density. Since the most appropriate population is hard to be established, yield potential is not attainable, and farmers sustain yield and income limitation. For example, for this maize hybrid, the potential yield loss due to wrong population was computed up to 20% for a good season and up to 56% for a dry season. Numerous such examples of substantial potential yield loss are listed in this table. Interestingly, in two cases of dry seasons, total yield destruction was computed. Is it an exaggeration, as I first thought? Possibly not, taking into account that the acute but not unprecedented drought occurred during the summer of 2012 in southern states. Harvested yield of this wheat cultivar during a dry season would be 80% less than the season's yield potential, whether the established population would be large enough to meet the optimum for a good season. And other examples of substantial potential yield loss in wheat also indicate that wheat is in danger, particularly at the Mediterranean type environments. From the foregoing analysis, it is self-evident that in order to address the issue, another type of cultivar is an imperative need. The so-called density-dependent cultivar, able to reach the yield plateau at a wide and of low threshold range of densities. Thus, two challenges come into question pertaining to agronomists and breeders. Firstly, among the currently available cultivars, the less dependent should be sown. These three hybrids are seemingly equivalent in yield potential. However, one of them, Marathon, performed as fairly density independent. And that hybrid was the highest yielding for 10 out of the 11 seasons, highlighting the importance of this agronomic trait for interseasonal stability. Worthy of note is this wheat cultivar also, which approached for two seasons the asymptotic yield by density interaction, mirroring the density-dependent cultivar. The second challenge is for breeders. They have to prioritize plant yield potential, targeting density-independent cultivars. Our so far research is encouraging that this is a realistic goal. Direct attempt to improve plant yield potential through single plant selection among widely spaced plants in order to allow them fully express their yielding potential led to 40 hybrids that averaged by 67% and up to 150% higher plant yield potential than the ancestor. At this point, I remind you the Duvick's finding that this trait remained unchanged for almost 100 years. And these hybrids were proved to be substantially less reliant on high populations. Similar breeding was established within a bred wheat cultivar. Even though the initial source material was a narrow gene pool, five of the derived sister lines averaged 31% higher plant yield potential than the mother cultivar, and when tested at the range of densities, there was a clear sign towards release from high populations. Similar impact is drawn from a maize project currently underway. Concluding, interseasonal variation in optimum density threatens crop sustainability and food security. The remedy relies on density-independent cultivar. In a very interesting paper in Agronomy Journal, Pop and the colleagues found out that profit-maximizing density might be lower than the yield-maximizing density. This is a strong indicator of density dependence. To coincide with them, they suggested this type of hybrid as ideal. Actually, this is the density-independent hybrid. Whether such cultivars are available, they could be planted at low populations as the dry seasons demand. But in parallel, they would be able to reach the yield plateau in favorable seasons either, even at that low population, thanks to their ability to take advantage of abundance in resources at the single plant level. And, of course, this is an essential prerequisite to bridge the gap between the harvested and the potential yield. And after all said, is of the most viable options to cope with the diverse agroecosystems created by the climatic changes. Darwin said, it is not the strongest that survives, it is the most adaptable to change. Meaning that versatile cultivars exhibiting plasticity and flexibility to the environmental diversity is an urgent mandate. Otherwise, the potential yield gap might widen, and on the other side, we will keep striving to satisfy the high food demands. Thank you.
Questions?
So, what's your recommendation when you try to select for cultivars
independent density? You will select the high density or you will select low density? If I understand well, you are asking what density I suggest to apply selection.
Right.
I bet? Yes. To be honest, in all my career, about 20 years now as a breeder, I gave special emphasis on selection on ultra low densities. I found out that actually this condition is under this condition the procedure is very effective to derive to have success, and this was evident in various species, particularly maize, in wheat, in bean, in lentil, and because we have a considerable success, I believe that yes, the ideal condition is ultra low density.
So you recommend a stalact?
Yes.
And a low density?
Yes, yes. Absolutely.
Do your density independent hybrids just produce more biomass? Or is it what we call a flex air? We have a higher harvest index and lower density?
Yes.
Biomass production, or is it higher harvest index?
Harvest index is a very, very key point. They are distinguished for higher harvest index. When they are under lower densities, they produce more ears.
Like a flexing?
Yeah, yes, yes. So they compensate for the missing plants.
Well, thank you very much.